Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcasts too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Mari Bolaños in San Francisco. Los Angeles Unified School District workers begin a three-day strike today, a labor action that will affect hundreds of thousands of people across the city. With more details, here's my California Report co-host Saul Gonzalez. Saul?
Mari, the three-day strike by members of SEIU Local 99 involves about 30,000 school district employees. They include teachers' aides, bus drivers, janitors, cafeteria workers, and other support staff. UTLA, the union representing classroom instructors, says its members won't cross picket lines in solidarity, meaning schools will have to stay closed. Union officials accuse the school district of unfair labor practices, like intimidation and worker surveillance, during drawn-out negotiations over new contract for employees. Among its demands, the union wants a 30% pay increase for workers, many of whom only work part-time and struggle to make ends meet. Fatima Grayson is a special education teacher's assistant.
We're not getting an equitable wage to feed families, have housing. A lot of people that do work for LAUSD have to work two jobs.
The district is offering wage increases of about 15% over the next 3 years, plus one-time bonus payments, and a minimum starting salary of $21.76 an hour for union members. In the days leading up to the labor action, the district superintendent, Alberto Carvalho, said he was ready to keep negotiating to avoid a strike.
Let it not be written or said that if a strike happens, it's because we were not willing to do everything we could to avoid it.
The strike will be a major disruption for the country's second-largest school district, a district still recovering from the effects of the COVID pandemic and the loss of classroom instruction time. During the strike, academic material and study guides will be posted online for students. Los Angeles County Libraries are also welcoming students who need a safe place to study during the day if they can't stay at home. LAUSD officials say the district will try to continue limited food service for students who depend on schools for their daily meals. Food will be distributed at local recreation centers and parks by community volunteers. Mari?
Thanks, Saul. That's the California Report, Saul Gonzalez.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest, and I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
The 12th atmospheric river this winter is set to once again pummel California. During past storms, washed out roads and fallen trees have isolated many residents in rural communities. But that hasn't stopped emergency responders from rescuing people. KQED health correspondent Leslie McClurg has the story of a heroic paramedic in the Sierra foothills.
Grass Valley with a test for Sierra Nevada 102, Grass Valley clear 1113.
During a recent storm, Jessica Farmer started her shift at Sierra Nevada Memorial Hospital at noon.
We get our rig started up, and at 12:05, the call went out for a possible heart attack, severe chest pain.
The 36-year-old pulled her blonde hair back into a ponytail and zipped up her coat.
Grass Valley Medic Force responding. All right, where are we headed?
Going on a call?
Okay.
Farmer and her partner set out on slick, icy roads with snow pelting the windshield as they wound through deep forest to the top of a canyon.
And we got to an opening that had been basically where the snowplow had stopped.
The patient's house is still at least a mile ahead. So they continue driving, but there were many obstacles on the slushy road.
There were cars broken down. We had to help shovel, dig people out. There was multiple trees that we had to cut with chainsaws and throw heavy rounds off the hill.
2 hours later, they had barely covered a half mile, and Farmer realizes her toes are completely numb.
I did not come down with snow pants, snow socks, and so I get a little worried. Any other situation in life, I think I would have just given up at that point. Like, this is too hard, but this is a 911 call. This is a patient having a heart attack. You have to make this work. This is going to be the hardest day of your life, but you have to work.
She receives a report from dispatch that the patient's pain is getting worse. So they forge ahead on foot, post-holing through waist-deep snow, until finally a large house with a deck comes into view.
Seeing that house was just the most, like, just pure happiness.
They check the patient's heart. He's still breathing.
We then told the patient that the road was disastrous, that we had to walk him. He then tells us that he has a broken hip.
Farmer takes a deep breath and then immediately pulls off her wet socks, borrows a few dry pairs from the patient, and then wraps her feet in plastic bags and duct tape.
I went and found a tarp and a sled. It was like a little tiny sled, too. It was like a little kid's sled. Able to bundle him up like a burrito and pulled him out like a dog sled team.
5 hours later, they finally get back to the hospital. Farmer helps admit the patient to the ER. Unfortunately, he does survive. And she's just one of the healthcare workers who saved lives during the ferocious storm. That week, many of her colleagues slept at the hospital, and a doctor snowshoed over closed roads to care for a sick child who was trapped at home.
This feels like something you would celebrate, but then it's like, no, you just kind of go back to on to the next day.
She never had time to process what happened in the forest. Less than an hour later, another call came through. A 24-year-old man accidentally shot himself in the pelvis. Farmer's ambulance was back out in the storm on the icy road. For the California Report, I'm Leslie McClurg in Nevada City.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, March 21st. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm your host, Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Paint Care. Now with 846 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. The James Irvine Foundation, accepting nominations now for the 2024 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvineawards.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes 11th Hour Racing, working to connect sustainability with sport to help restore ocean health, on the web at 11thHourRacing.org.
Hi there, I'm Randa Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.